Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Verse Number 36. Udama Bhava Pisunamala Valguhasa. Ridavaloka Nihato Madano Piyasam. Samuhyaktapam ajahat pramadottamasta. Yasyendriyam vimatitam kuhakarnaseku. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although the Queen's beautiful smiles and furtive glances were all spotless and exciting, and although they could conquer Cupid himself by making him give up his bow in frustration, and although even the tolerant Shiva could fall victim to them, still, despite all their magical feats and attractions, they could not agitate the senses of the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The path of salvation, or the path going back to God, it always forbids the association of women and the complete Sanatan Dharma or Varnashram Dharma scheme forbids or restricts association with women. Well, you can ask a question. How come Prabhupada permitted women to live in the temple? How come Prabhupada performed marriages? How come Prabhupada let women worship the deities? How come Prabhupada gave Brahmin initiation to women? How come Prabhupada, in many ways, encouraged women in the movement to give class and lead kirtan and so forth? Interesting question, right? Because this is referring to fallen women who provocatively and seductively wear spares, clothing, put on all kinds of lipstick and mascara and earrings and hairdos and high heels, all that stuff. This is not talking about devotee women who are modest and shy and are very dedicated to serving Krishna. It's talking about women who want to basically, what you call, make propaganda for their body. So, how then can one be accepted as a Supreme Personality of Godhead who is addicted to more than 16,000 wives? This question may be relevantly raised by inquisitive persons really anxious to know about the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. And to answer such questions, the sages at Naimisharanya have discussed the transcendental character of the Lord in this and in following verses. It is clear herein that the feminine attractive features which can conquer Cupid or even the supermost tolerant Lord Shiva could not conquer the senses of the Lord. Cupid's business is to invoke mundane lust. The whole universe is moving, being agitated by Cupid's arrow. The activities of the world are being carried on by the central attraction of male and female. A male is searching after a mate to his liking, and the female is looking after a suitable male. That is the way of material stimulus. And as soon as a male is combined with the female, the material bondage of the living being is at once tightly interlocked by sex relation, and as a result of this, both the males and females' attraction for sweet home, motherland, bodily offspring, society, and friendship, and accumulation of wealth becomes the illusory field of activities, and thus a false but indefatigable attraction for the temporary material existence, which is full of miseries, is manifest. Wow, that's a mouthful. Those who are therefore on the path of salvation for going back home, back to Godhead, are especially advised by all scriptural instructions to become free from such paraphernalia of material attraction. And that is possible only by the association of the devotees of the Lord, who are called Mahatmas. Cupid throws his arrow upon the living beings to make them mad after the opposite sex, whether the party is actually beautiful or not. Cupid's provocations are going on, even among beastly societies who are all ugly looking in the estimation of the civilized nations. Thus, Cupid's influence is exerted even amongst the ugliest forms, and what to speak of the most perfect beauties. Lord Shiva, who is considered to be most tolerant, was also struck by Cupid's arrow because he also became mad after Mohini incarnation of the Lord, and acknowledged himself to be defeated. Cupid, however, was himself captivated by the grave and exciting dealings of the goddess of fortune, and he voluntarily gave up his bow and arrow in a spirit of frustration. That's a story I don't know. You know that story, Prabhu? What? Okay. Such was the beauty and attraction of the queens of Lord Krishna, yet they could not disturb transcendental senses of the Lord. This is because the Lord is all-perfect Atmarama, or self-sufficient. He does not require anyone's extraneous help for his personal satisfaction. Therefore, the queens could not satisfy the Lord by their feminine attractiveness, but they satisfy him by their sincere affection and service. That's the secret. Only by unalloyed transcendental loving service could they easily satisfy the Lord, and the Lord was pleased to treat them as wives in reciprocation. Thus, being satisfied by their unalloyed service only, the Lord reciprocated the service just like a devout husband. Otherwise, he had no business becoming the husband of so many wives. He is the husband of everyone, but to one who accepts him as such, he reciprocates. This unalloyed affection for the Lord is never to be compared to mundane lust. It is purely transcendental. And the grave dealings which the queens displayed in natural feminine ways were also transcendental because the feelings were expressed out of transcendental ecstasy. It is already explained in the previous verse that the Lord appeared like a mundane husband, but factually, his relation with his wives was transcendental, pure, and unconditioned by the modes of material nature. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Well, there's so many points here. We're not going to be able to cover all of them in a short period of time. But we did say that we would finish reading from the Krishna book, because yesterday we read some very interesting things. In fact, I want to repeat one or two things. Okay, so we're talking about Krishna's transcendental qualities when he was a grihastha, and he demonstrated perfect behavior as a grihastha. Okay, so it says here, after rising from bed, Lord Krishna would wash his mouth, hands, and feet, and would immediately sit down and meditate on himself. This does not mean, however, that we should also sit down and meditate on ourselves. We have to meditate upon Krishna, Radha Krishna. That is real meditation. Krishna is Krishna himself. Therefore, he was teaching us that Brahma Muhurta should be utilized for meditation on Radha Krishna. By such meditation, Krishna would feel very much satisfied, and similarly, we will also feel transcendentally pleased and satisfied if we utilize the Brahma Muhurta period to meditate on Radha Krishna, and if we think of how Sri Rukmini Devi and Krishna acted as ideal householders to teach the whole human society to rise early in the morning and immediately engage in Krishna consciousness. There's no difference between meditating on the eternal forms of Radha Krishna and chanting the Maha Mantra Hare Krishna. As for Krishna's meditation, he had no alternative but to meditate on himself. The object of meditation is Brahman, Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna himself is all three. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, the localized Paramatma, is his plenary partial expansion, and the all-pervading Brahman effulgence is the personal rays of his transcendental body. Therefore, Krishna is always one, and for him, there is no differentiation. That is the difference between an ordinary living being and Krishna. For an ordinary living being, there are many distinctions. An ordinary living being is different from his body, and he is different from other species of living entities. A human being is different from other human beings and different from the animals. Even in his own body, there are different bodily limbs. We have our hands and legs, but our hands are different from our legs. The hand cannot act like the leg, nor can the leg act like the hand. The ears can hear, but the eyes cannot. And the eyes can see, but the ears cannot. All these differences are technically called swajatiya vijatiya. The bodily limitation, whereby one part of the body cannot act as another part, is totally absent from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no difference between his body and himself. He is completely spiritual, and therefore, there is no difference between his body and his soul. Similarly, he is not different from his millions of incarnations and plenary expansions. Okay, so this is very interesting. And we did say yesterday Bhakti Daniel was going to print and send to all the grihastha husbands it's actually in the Krishna book, or my book, page 148. Which explains, you know, waking up early, what he says. Ideal, Krishna, he says that Krishna would feel much satisfied, and similarly, we will also feel transcendentally pleased and satisfied if we utilize the Brahma Muhurta period to meditate on Radha Krishna, and if we think of how Sri Rukmini Devi and Krishna acted as ideal householders to teach the whole human society to rise early in the morning and immediately engage in Krishna consciousness. Okay, so then it goes into a whole bunch of information here. And Brahma Muhurta is considered to be 3 hours. By nature's arrangement, the crowing of the cocks, or the roosters, warns of the Brahma Muhurta hour. There's no need of alarm clocks. As soon as the cocks crow early in the morning, it is to be understood that it is time to rise from bed. Hearing that sound, Krishna would get up from bed, but his rising early was not very much to the liking of his wives. So that means that you should all buy a rooster and keep it in your backyard. And as soon as that rooster crows in the morning, which is usually about 3 hours before the rising of the sun, immediately get up. You don't need a clock. You just get a rooster. Okay. So, yeah. So we stopped reading on page, I think, 150. Krishna is called the Supreme Brahman because he is the cause of creation, the cause of maintenance, and the cause of dissolution. Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva are different expansions of these material qualities. All these material qualities can act upon the conditioned souls, but there is no such action and reaction upon Krishna because these qualities are all simultaneously one with and different from him. Krishna himself is simply Satchitananda Vigraha, the eternal form of bliss and knowledge, and because of his inconceivable greatness, he is called the Supreme Brahman. His meditation on Brahman or Paramatma or Bhagavan is on himself only and not on anything else beyond himself. This meditation cannot be imitated by the ordinary living entity. So the Mayavadis, many of them try and imitate that. After his meditation, the Lord would regularly bathe early in the morning with clear, sanctified water. Then he would change into fresh clothing, cover himself with a wrapper, and engage himself in his daily religious functions. Out of his many religious duties, the first was to offer oblations into the sacrificial fire and silently chant the Gayatri Mantra. Lord Krishna, as the ideal householder, executed all the religious functions of a householder without deviation. When the sunrise became visible, the Lord would offer specific prayers to the sun god. The sun god and other demigods mentioned in the Vedic scriptures are described as different limbs of the body of Lord Krishna. And it is the duty of the householder to offer respects to the demigods and great sages as well as the forefathers. Haribo. Very interesting. And as and so you might ask the question, well, how come we don't do that? Well, we do. If you honor the deity with arati and the spiritual master with guru puja, that is equal to honoring all the demigods and forefathers and everything. That's called the Krishna network, because the demigods are all individuals, and they're considered as parts of Krishna's transcendental body, and everyone is connected to Krishna. So if you connect to Krishna, you connect to everyone. As it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has no specific duty to perform in this world, and yet he acts just like an ordinary man, living an ideal life within this material world in accordance with the Vedic ritualistic principles. The Lord would offer respects to the demigods, the regulative principle by which the demigods and forefathers are worshipped is called tarpana, which means pleasing. One's forefathers may have to take a body on another planet, but by performance of the tarpana system, they become very happy wherever they may be. It is the duty of the householder to make his family members happy. And by following this tarpana system, he can make his forefathers happy also. As the perfect exemplary householder, Lord Sri Krishna followed this tarpana system and offered respectful obeisances to the elderly, superior members of his family. Wow. The next duty was to give cows in charity to the brahmanas. Every day, Lord Krishna used to give many groups of 13,084 cows. Wow. Each of the cows were decorated with a silken cover and pearl necklace. Their horns were covered with gold plating, and their hooves were silver plated. All of them were full of milk due to having their firstborn calves with them, and they were very tame and peaceful. When the cows were given in charity to the brahmanas, the brahmanas were also given nice silken garments, and each was given a deer skin and sufficient quantity of sesame seeds. So why do you need a deer skin? Because when you put the deer skin down on the ground and sit on it to meditate, no snakes will come near, for some reason or other. The Lord is generally known as Go Brahmana Hitayacha, which means that his first duty is to see to the welfare of the cows and the brahmanas. Thus, he used to give cows in charity to the brahmanas with opulent decorations and paraphernalia. Then, wishing for the welfare of all living entities, he would touch auspicious articles such as milk, honey, ghee or clarified butter, gold, jewels, and fire. Although the Lord is by nature very beautiful due to the perfect figure of his transcendental body, he would dress himself in yellow garments and put on his necklace of Kostuba jewels. He would wear flower garlands, smear his body with the pulp of sandalwood, and decorate himself with similar cosmetics and ornaments. It is said that the ornaments themselves became beautiful upon being placed on the transcendental body of the Lord. After decorating himself in this way, the Lord would then look at marble statues of the cow and calf and visit temples of God or demigods like Lord Shiva. There were many brahmanas who would come daily to see the Supreme Lord before taking their breakfast. They were anxious to see him, and he welcomed them. His next duty was to please all kinds of men belonging to the different castes, both in the city and within the palace compound. He made them happy by fulfilling their different desires, and when the Lord saw them happy, he also became very pleased. The flower garlands, betel nuts, sandalwood pulp, and other fragrant cosmetic articles offered to the Lord would be distributed by him, first to the brahmanas and elderly members of the family, then to the queens, and then to the ministers, and if there was still some balance, he would engage it for his own personal use. By the time the Lord finished all these daily duties and activities, his charioteer, Daruka, would come with his wonderful chariot to stand before the Lord with folded hands, intimating that the chariot was ready, and the Lord would come out of the palace to travel. Then the Lord, accompanied by Uddhava and Satyaki, would ride on the chariot just as the sun god rides on his chariot in the morning, appearing with his blazing rays on the surface of the world. When the Lord was about to leave his palaces, all the queens would look at him with feminine gestures. The Lord would respond to their greetings with smiles, attracting their hearts so much that they would feel intense separation from him. Then the Lord would go to the assembly house known as Sudharma. It may be remembered that the Sudharma assembly house was taken away from the heavenly planets and established in the city of Dwarka. The specific significance of the assembly house was that anyone who entered it would be freed from the six kinds of material pangs, namely hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age, and death. These are the whips of material existence. And as long as one remained in that Sudharma assembly house, he would not be affected by these six material whips. The Lord would say goodbye in all the 16,000 palaces, and again he would become one and enter the Sudharma assembly house in procession with other members of the Yadu dynasty. After entering the assembly house, he used to sit on the exalted royal throne and would be seen to emanate glaring rays of transcendental effulgence. In the midst of all the great heroes of the Yadu dynasty, Krishna resembled the full moon in the sky surrounded by multi-luminaries. In the assembly house were professional jokers, dancers, musicians, and ballet girls. And as soon as the Lord sat on his throne, they would begin their respective functions to please the Lord and put him in a happy mood. First of all, the jokers would talk in such a way that the Lord and his associates would enjoy their humor, which would refresh the morning mood. The dramatic actors would then play their parts, and the dancing ballet girls would separately display their artistic movements. All these functions would be accompanied by the beating of mridanga drums and the sounds of the veena, flutes, and bells, followed by the sound of the muraja, another type of drum, to these musical vibrations. The auspicious sound of the conch shell would be added. The professional singers called sutas and mahagadas would sing, and others would perform their dancing art. In this way, as devotees, they would offer respectful prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes the learned brahmanas present in the assembly would chant Vedic hymns and explain them to the audience to the best of their knowledge. And sometimes some of them would recite old historical accounts of the activities of prominent kings. The Lord, accompanied by his servants, would be very pleased to hear them. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, it's a very long chapter, but it's full of nectar. That's why we're reading it in the morning, and we'll finish that tomorrow. And we'll go over this verse again tomorrow and cover all the points. Are there any questions? So you can see what a grand and grandiose thing it is to wake up early in the morning and be in association with Krishna and Dwarka. It's fabulous. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And it's something like that in Mayapur also. You know, a lot of similarities in the temple there. Okay. All glories to Prabhupada. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes. Hunting is permitted for the Kshatriyas. It keeps them fit for war. But usually you wait till the deer dies, naturally. You know, because you're going to offer it to a brahmana. So I'm not sure absolutely, right? But I know that hunting was permitted for the Kshatriyas. But I don't know if they would offer that to a brahmana, offer the skin to a brahmana. That's we'll have to research that. I don't know for sure. Hari Bol. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.